John's Gospel, chapter 3, and we're going to read at verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then the last verse we heard read the other night, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And that'll suffice for our reading, our portion of reading tonight. I'm thinking maybe in particular about verse 14, and we were singing about tonight about the serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness, and verse 14 reminds us here, the Lord speaking to a man by the name of Nicodemus, and we have those wonderful words, you must be born again. I think we heard about that the other night in the meeting. But the conversation that the Lord had with this man, Nicodemus, that was a teacher, and yet there was something in his life with all he knew about the Bible and all the Bible that he could quote, the first number of books of the Bible that he could quote, and most of them he would probably know by heart, and yet he had never been born again, didn't know the truth of being born again. And some in our meeting, I suppose most in our meeting tonight, you could probably tell someone out on the street. If you met them, you could probably tell them, you know what, you need to be born again. The Bible says you need to be born again if you're going to be in heaven. And so I'm sure you could tell someone that. But you know, the Lord said also to this man Nicodemus, he said, as Moses, and Nicodemus would know that story. Well, Numbers 21, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him, the one that's lifted up, should not perish, but have eternal life. And I suppose you know that story tonight. Probably wouldn't have to even to relate to you the story of the serpent in the wilderness. We'll just run through it quickly. You know, God had really given defeat at the enemies of the Lord in the first of that chapter, Numbers chapter 21. They had just been a real victory, had been won, and God had given them a real victory. And God had blessed them. But then just in a few short verses after, you know, they got so discouraged with the way. And so they really began to despise God, and they began to reject God, God's word and God's way. And so the Bible says, and they recognized that they had sinned. Just as the Romans reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the truth is they were no different than we are. And we are no different than what they were. And so, that problem of sin happened way back there. There's no difference today. We're just the same. And so God sent amongst those people some serpents, fiery serpents. And then it says that many people began to die. You know what the Bible says? The wages of sin is death. And so they began to die, the bite of that serpent. And when they were dying, you know, they began to realize that they had done wrong. And so they acknowledged the wrong, and they said to Moses, they came to Moses, and they said, Moses, we've sinned. And would you ask God, pray to God to take away these serpents? You know, that'd have been wonderful, wouldn't it? If they'd have seen all these serpents just hightailing it out of the camp. And there they go, all these serpents just wiggling their way right away from the camp. That would be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be great? But you know what God always does? He always does better than what you think. And so God had way better for the people, just like he does tonight in our meeting. God has something way better for you than anything that you could even dream of. You know, when you think of this man Moses, you know, there was a day in his life when he made a choice over what the world today and back then and the world today thinks maybe is the greatest thing. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And you know, he made a tremendous choice. And there's some in our meeting tonight, maybe that's the choice you have to make. Everyone has to make a choice in their life. And so Moses made that great choice for Christ, for God. And he weighed the matter up of what his life was going to be. And he chose that which was going to be eternal. That's what you need tonight. This old world, it's as empty as a bubble. It's as empty, my friend, as an empty glass. I couldn't say an empty glass like this one. This one's not. But this old world, the pleasures of sin, you know what it'll do? When it's all said and done, it'll leave you so miserable and so empty. I remember we were going to a meeting one night, and over the radio came the news that Elvis Presley had died. And then they call him, he was the king, right? He was the king. Anybody that remembers Elvis Presley? I remember one summer we went, every second night, we went to a drive-in theater to watch Elvis Presley in the movies. And after the drive-in, you know, after that, when you left that drive-in theater, everyone that was in there was acting exactly like Elvis Presley was on the movie screen. If he was driving fast cars, everybody was, we were headed home as wild as the car would go, acting out what was seen on the screen. And you know something? That man that was noted as the king, the most miserable life you could think of. His life was miserable, and he died a miserable man. And yet he was hailed as, you know, the king in the music world, and all the fame and glory that goes with that. Miserable. And that's the story of most of those ones. Well, Moses made a good choice. You can make a good choice tonight. You know what God said? Said to Moses, I want you to make a serpent of brass. And I want you to put that brass on a pole. That serpent up on a pole. I kind of think that they went through the camp with that serpent, really, kind of. I kind of think they went from different places for the people to see. And then God said, and you know, everyone that looks at that serpent of brass will live, will have life. So that's way better than the serpents leaving the camp. If they were bitten to die, then way better just to take a look at the serpent of brass and be given life. And so that's what happened. And so I suppose they sort of had to give that message out too. It wasn't just something they went through the camp with a serpent of brass on a pole, and people would wonder what in the world's happening. But you know, there would be a message that went with that. You know why the serpent of brass is on this pole? You know why it's going through the camp? Because everyone that looks, maybe some didn't want to look or wasn't feeling like looking. And the message was come, if you look at the serpent of brass, you can live. You can have life. What would you do if you was there? Well, God said, everyone that looks, lives. And so I'm thinking, first of all, you know that story, what that story is? That's a picture of God's salvation. If you want to see, you know what a picture does. A picture often comes short or fails. But you know, a picture reveals. A picture shows us something. And so this picture of John 3:14 reveals to us something of what God has done for you and for me. First of all, I was thinking, sin brings the judgment of God. That's what happened in Numbers 21. They acknowledged that we have sinned. They recognized their sin. And sin brought the judgment of God. Way back in the book of Genesis, the very first man and woman in our world that came into our world, you know what they found out? Sin brings the judgment of God. And you know what we're going to find out here tonight? And find out at least in the future. For those that reject God's Son, that miss this great salvation, you know what you're going to find? That sin will bring the judgment of God. If your sins are never forgiven, there's nothing ahead. There's nothing ahead, my friend, but the judgment of God. It is. That's a reality. That's something that we need to face. As one man said, the hardest thing about facts is facing them. And the fact is, sin brings the judgment of God. Not only that, but the result of that judgment is death. That's what happened in our story. You know what happened to those people? Those serpents came. And you know, I suppose I don't like rats and I don't like bears and I don't like... But you know what I don't really like? Snakes. I really don't. So one fellow, one day, he was going to chase. I said, if you chase me with that, I'll kill you. Well, I don't know though. On that occasion, anyway, a snake. But some people like snakes. Can't figure that one out at all. But anyway, these snakes, you know, they came into the camp. And you know what happened when they bit? That mean death. Just as sure as that bite was given. And you know what really didn't matter? Didn't matter if you were 5 years old. It wouldn't matter if you were 50 years old. It didn't matter if you went to church every Sunday. It wouldn't matter if you was the best boy and girl that was in the camp of those nations. If you were the best boy or girl in the camp, you know what the Bible says? When that snake bit, it was death. And that was proof of sin. You know why people die today? If you could tell me and prove to me you'd never die, and you know that's not going to happen, you could say, well, I never sinned. Never sinned in my life. But you know, the very fact that we're going to die, that pillar on the chart, see that pillar? This is a picture too. This chart's a picture. See this pillar here that crosses this path and into this great eternity? This pillar reminds us that we have sinned. The wages of sin is death. And so they were dying. Boys and girls were dying. Men and women were dying. You know what they needed? They need a way of escape. And God provides a way of escape. The people came to Moses and they said, Moses, we have sinned. We have sinned against God. They spoke against God. They didn't like the way God was leading them. And you know, people today, they talk about God. They speak against God. They got no time for God. I went to the house today and I knocked the door and a woman came to the door and she said, go away. I don't want to see you. She didn't know who I was. I only knocked the door. She said, go away. I don't want to see you. So I tried to talk her into why I was there anyway. And finally did get a gospel paper and invite to her. I was asked to visit that home. Go away, she said. Don't want to. Anyway, people don't want to even hear or think about God, just like these people. But you know what happened? They were dying. God says, here's a way of escape. I want you to put a serpent on the pole. See that serpent, that brass serpent? You know what? There wasn't one bit of power in that serpent. It wasn't something that was, you know, shining out all kinds of rays all over. And when that ray hit you, there was going to be a funny feeling. And all of a sudden, you'd be doing great. There wasn't one bit of power in that serpent. You know why people were healed? You know why people were given life? Had to look at that serpent. That serpent was lifted up. That reminds me of a man that was lifted up. The Lord Jesus was lifted up at Calvary. Because he told Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him, you know why he was lifted up? Same reason the serpent was lifted up. That serpent was lifted on that pole that every eye could look at him and everyone that looked was given life. When that serpent was lifted up. Do you know why the Lord Jesus was lifted up at Calvary? You know why he was lifted up upon the cross? That everyone that looks to him is given life. He gives life. You know who gave the life in Numbers 21 to these people? Do you know who was that gave the life? It was God. All the requirement was for the people that had to look. If they didn't look, they didn't get life. Everyone that refused to look died. Many of them died. The Bible says many of them died. But everyone that looked, lived, without exception. You know why? Because God said they would. You know what the Lord says tonight? You know what God says tonight to everyone in this company? Every person. If you're not saved, my friend, the Lord Jesus says, God says in his word, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him, who looks to him by faith. Yes, that's the link. Taking. You know, a preacher one time was talking to a lady in her house out in the west. And so after talking to her for some time, he said to her, he said, I'm thirsty. I'm really thirsty. I would love to have a drink. So the lady goes and brings a glass of water. And she puts that glass of water down in front of him. And he continues to talk to her about verses in the Bible and telling her about God's salvation. And after a little bit longer, he says, you know, I'm really thirsty. I would really like to have a cold drink. A cold drink would be so good. And so she looked at the glass that was there, and then she went and got another glass. And she brings out the second glass, and she puts that down. She thought something must have been wrong with that one. And so the preacher talks on a little longer, telling her how that Christ died for her sins. When he was lifted up upon the cross, it was that she might look to him by faith and trust him and take him as her own and personal Savior. And then he said, am I ever thirsty? It is so dry, and my throat is so dry, I would just love to have a cold drink of water. And so she looked at the glasses there, and she looked at him, and then she got up and went and came back with another glass of water, third glass. And she set it down before him, and he kept talking. A verse like John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he said, I'm so thirsty. I would really like to have a cold drink of water. And the woman couldn't take it anymore. She said, there's water right there. I brought water, four glasses of water. Take a drink of the water. I got it right there for you. You know, he said, that's what God wants you to do. He's got it right there for you. God's salvation. It's right there. He just wants you to take it. Just like you take a drink of water. Everyone that looks by faith to him, that man that was lifted up upon the cross, that man who gave his life, you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to just take him at his word. And faith is a response to that word. Why, they wouldn't have, if they hadn't responded to what God says, they would never have been given life. If they hadn't have looked, they would never have lived. And I think we heard last night, the Lord says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And there's none else. There was only one way of life for life in the day here with Moses, only one way. If you didn't look, you didn't live. Those that looked, lived. And God says, those that look to my Son, those that trust him, those that take him, they can have life. And that's a picture of God's salvation. I was thinking today, verse 16, John 3 and verse 16, our text here, that tells me of the proof of God's love. How do I know God loves me? How do I know God loves you? Well, that's the proof of it there. There's one verse in the Bible right there that proves God's love. God so loved the world that he gave. My friend, that's proof of his love. That word love and so is action. And God showed by the action of the giving of his Son into this world to go to the cross, to suffer, bleed, and die at Calvary, that you and I might have our sins forgiven. And you know, the most wonderful thing is to know without a doubt whatsoever that we have peace with God. You could know that tonight. I was talking with a couple of the boys this morning, and you know, I was reminded we take so much for granted. You listen to the gospel as I was listening to them tell them how they got saved, listening to the gospel, and just wasn't getting it. So I wonder, are you getting it tonight? Are you getting it that your sins can be forgiven? Are you getting it that you can know without a doubt whatsoever? You can rest with 100% confidence that the man who died upon that cross, the God of heaven that holds your breath in his hand, that gave his Son to die for your sins that you might be saved, loved you so much. And you could have everlasting life tonight. It could be yours for the taking tonight. You know, I was thinking today, so I thought I'd relate today. It was Mr. Hall and Mr. Bingham, the late Mr. Bingham. They were having gospel meetings over in Tatamagush, Nova Scotia, a number of years ago, over the liquor store, of all places. But they were having gospel meetings in the empty room up over top of the liquor store. There was a man that I can remember, I was about 9 or 10 years of age, I suppose, and my dad was sawing in a lumber mill. And a man that worked for my dad, he had a team of horses, and he was logging the mill, what we call logging the mill. So he'd be bringing the logs from out by in the woods. He'd bring them into the mill, and then my dad would be the sawyer. He was sawing the logs. And he was kind of a rough man, too. And the only thing I remember much about him at that occasion was when he hit the horse so hard, and he took the horse right off his feet. The horse wasn't acting the way that he thought it should. And he hit that horse so hard that he put the horse down. Anyway, his name was Bill. And so I remember him after some years passed, and I remember Bill, his wife passed away, and he took to drinking, and he wasn't drinking this stuff. And that's all he lived for. And for years of his life, he'd work long enough to get enough liquor to just want to binge. And so he had a house and I don't know how many acres of land and mountain wood, and he gave that away, just lost it all to a man. And my brother actually married the man's daughter later on. But anyway, Bill one day was in this house, and he's in the corner over there, and he's pretty well out of it, drunk. And so he says to the man of the house, he said, "You know what I'm going to do?" In his drunken words, he said, "You know what I'm going to do?" He said, "I'm going out on the road there, and the first truck that comes along, I'm going to step out in front of it." He said, "I'm fed up with life." And this man said to him that was a bitter enemy of the gospel, you know what he said? He said, "Before you do that, Bill, go out and stand on the side of the road, and when Bob Hunt comes along, he'll stop and pick you up, and he'll take you to a meeting down in Tatamagush." They were having gospel meetings up over top of the liquor store. And so my dad comes along, and Bill is standing on the side of the road, staggering, kind of. Of course, Dad knew him all his life, or a lot of it. So my dad stops and picks him up and takes him to the gospel meeting, just like we're having here tonight. And he takes him up over top of the liquor store. He sits in the gospel meeting, listens to Mr. Hall and Mr. Bingham preaching, comes back again the next night, and the third night, he's sitting in the meeting, and you know what happens? See this verse? John 3:16. You know what happened in that verse? As Bill's sitting in the meeting, he recognizes and realizes that whosoever meant him. And he grasped it. He just took what God was offering, that whosoever believeth in him, even old drunkard Bill, with just a life behind him of just a terrible life. But God loved him so much, and Christ died for him. Well, what a change. Have you ever seen a change in a man's life? And Bill met a lady after that, up in their 70s then, met a lady, married her, set up a little house. And you couldn't get in the door before he'd have the Bible out. Couldn't read much himself. But you couldn't get in the door and he'd have the Bible out, wanting you to read the Bible and a word of prayer. That's what God does. And so the proof of God's love is seen in the gift of his Son. The purpose of Christ coming into this world, that the world through him might be saved. That's the purpose. Are you saved tonight? You know why Christ came? Is that you might be saved. That's what he wants, my friend. And if you miss it, if you miss God's salvation, what a terrible loss. The condemnation, the possibility of God's condemnation. "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You know, when Mrs. Bingham died, I can remember Mr. Bingham called me from the hospital in Halifax, and he says, "David, Marjorie just passed away. The doctor said there's 93% chance of successful operation, 7%. Not good." She said, "Which percentage am I in?" Well, she was in the 7%, as it turned out. Anyway, at the funeral, I remember that's the verse she got saved through. John 3, verse 36. And I thought, you know, John 3:36, the triumph, "He that believeth on the Son," that one that was lifted up at Calvary, the triumph of the gospel, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." But you know what the tragedy is? He that believeth not. The ones that wouldn't look to the serpent, you know what happened? They fell under the judgment of God. When Christ was lifted up on the cross, you know, my friend, those that won't look, those that won't, by faith, take a look to him, that won't trust him, that won't accept him, you know what's going to happen? Going to fall under the judgment of God. "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." God grant tonight that that might not be your portion, but that you might accept and trust him.